Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and Moneyweb.
South African households remain under severe financial strain, with high interest rates driving debt costs to their highest level in 15 years. According to the latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, it's compiled by well-known economist Dr. Rudolf Buerta, even the recent rate cut has barely eased the pressure, with households spending just over 9% of their disposable income on debt. So is monetary policy hurting more than helping? I'm joined now by Dr. Buerta. A very good evening to you. And with debt consuming 9.1% of disposable income, do you think that South African households are now at a breaking point?
Yes, I don't like the word breaking point, but there is certainly, amongst percentage of South African households, there seems to be a bit of a crisis. Because, you know, if you increase your debt servicing costs, which essentially is the interest on your debt, which is mainly mortgage loans for the average South African, if you increase that by 36% and you're now spending 9.1% of your disposable income on servicing debt, it stands to reason. This is not rocket science. Mm. That you have less money to spend. And household consumption expenditure, the single biggest demand component in the economy. Without household disposable income and expenditure, there's no economy, quite frankly, and it is as if the Monetary Policy Committee had forgotten this. I did a calculation, Jeremy, if debt cost servicing ratio had stayed at 6.7% from the beginning, where it was in the beginning of 2022, before the interest rate increases started to bite, households would cumulatively have had, until the third quarter of this year, 200, I'm going to repeat that, 200 billion rand more to spend. To the best of my knowledge, that's about four times more than the liquidity that was pumped in the economy as a result of the two-pot system. And I can almost guarantee the listeners that there would have been thousands, if not tens of thousands of people in South Africa that would have had a job today. And this is my gripe with the excessively restrictive monetary policy. It is restricting this economy, severely restricting this economy's ability to create jobs.
So the Reserve Bank, then, you're suggesting, has been too slow to ease rates. It adopts a more cautious approach. Do you see at any time perhaps an easing of monetary policy, of a more benign strategy?
Unfortunately, not to the extent that myself and many other economists and business people, and I suppose every indebted South African, would want. But we are in an interest rate cutting cycle, which is good news, but it is so unbelievably slow. I just want to quote Johan Gelletly, the MD of Altron FinTech, when he says that this index results, it demonstrates that lowering interest rates is essential to restore household purchasing power and stimulate growth in South Africa. And the head of equity at Investec shares this belief. He says that the growth narrative has just, you know, fallen by the wayside. Inflation is not this country's problem. We've got a 3% inflation rate, but we have an 11.25% prime rate. This gives us the highest real prime rate, 8.3% in the world. This is ridiculous for a country that has a serious unemployment problem.
So, Dr. Buerta, in order to right the ship then, is there a sweet spot as far as an optimum interest rate is concerned?
Well, Jeremy, as far as I'm concerned, yes. And that sweet spot lies somewhere between the norm during Jill Marcus, the previous governor's term of office, during her 5 years, the average real prime rate, this is not intimidating mass, it's prime minus CPI. And that figure was 3.1%. By the way, we had an average of 2.6% annual, but for 5 years, real GDP growth. Now the real prime rate is 8.3%. That is 170% increase. But it lies somewhere between 3.1% and 5%. Now, why do I say 5%? Just before COVID, in January 2020, South Africa's inflation rate was 5%, and our prime rate was 10%. I was complaining, and several economists thought this was too restrictive. So it gave you a real prime rate of 5%. Now it's 8.3. I would love to go to 5. I could even live with 6, but not 8.3.
Yeah. Dr. Butter, do you take any comfort in the fact that we seem to be in a rate-cutting cycle at the moment? Conventional wisdom suggests maybe one more cut in July this year. But what I'm suggesting, or what I'm thinking you're going to say, is that that's not moving quick enough.
Well, not even remotely. We will have growth this year. We will probably have 2% GDP growth this year. But if we can lower the cost of capital, which is required by the private sector, for the massive loans that they have to get into to assist government with fixing and expanding our country's infrastructure, it's just going to be slow. We can grow at 4% this year and at 5% next year. We grew at 5% 4 years in a row. I think you may remember that. Mm. You may remember I won the Economist of the Year award then, because I'm always the most optimistic and I would love to win it again. So, yes, we're grateful for the lower interest rates, but really, if you compare ourselves to the rest of the world, it's ridiculously restrictive. And I would love somebody out there just to come forward and say, okay, let's have a research project. I don't know who's going to finance this. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. But let's look at desktop study and to try to find out what should a country like South Africa's, what is the optimal real interest rate, real commercial lending rate. And I can guarantee listeners, it is closer to 5% than the current 8.3%.
So, Dr. Buerta, household income growth is now stagnant, as we've already discussed. Given the high interest rate environment that we still live in, albeit we've seen some cuts, I doubt we're going to see spending pick up any time soon, and particularly when it comes to big ticket purchases like homes and vehicles.
Well, yes, the Better Bond index of home loan applications has an inverse relationship with interest rates, and that has just slid as the rates have increased. But at least it's stabilized and it's showing signs of life. But it's more at the bottom end of the market. There is life in our economy. People with relatively high skills and some experience are not battling to get jobs right now. If you just look at retail trade sales for the 3 months, September, October, November, that's up 5.1% year on year in real terms, which has been fueled, I suppose, to some extent by the two-pot withdrawals. We need more. The confidence is there. If you look at the S&P Global Index, the AfriMat Construction Index, they've all increased nicely, but what we need now, the trigger is lowering the cost of capital.
Well, that is a salutary warning on this rates decision day. Dr. Roelof Buerta, thank you very much indeed. We've been talking about the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index. I appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.